Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we are talking about Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is an open-world game developed by Insomniac and published by Sony for the PS5 in 2020.
Yeah. And this is our premium episode for the month, meaning everybody gets the generalities, but patrons get the play-by-play, the kind of Let's Play portion of it. $5 a month get you all that.
And this is good. Get it out of the way,
just like this is a snack. it's a delicious little, you know, it's not a high-end, you know, fancy restaurant meal, but it's also not a fast food carb. Like, this is like a reasonable fast casual, you know. Like, in terms of nutrition. This is kind of came along as a nice time, because like right now the Spider-Man series, you know, the Insomniac Spider-Man games are a big franchise, a big PS5, you know, PlayStation exclusive kind of thing, semi-exclusive for a time, whatever. I hate trying to guess where things are at with that. A big tentpole kind of thing. They're all really long.
Yes.
I played Spider-Man 2 as my winter break game. Once a year, I play a game just for Gary when we're on break. Last year was Midnight Suns. This year it's Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, just, you know. You gotta pick and choose your busman's holidays.
It's like I'm back as a little kid when people are like, I get to pick one game for my birthday. So I had to make it count. It's a little bit like that, except I do that in 3 weeks. Or do it in like a week and a half during break. But I did Spider-Man 2, which is really good. It's really fucking long. And Spider-Man 1, really fucking long. This is a modest product.
Yeah.
This is a side story kind of thing. Like it is a full standalone SKU or whatever, but it's kind of, it would be an expansion pack.
Yes.
If this were in like a early 2000s PC game.
Yes. And it is an extremely good, like, 17-hour hit of that Insomniac Spider-Man style.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the product it most reminds me of, that is also a separate SKU and stuff, is Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which also reuses the map and makes it winter, and gives you an array of new things to fight with slightly different abilities. Kind of Spider-Man 1.5. If you're interested in hearing Spider-Man thoughts, I'm sure you talked, if you played it, you may have talked about it in the level. Me and Jeremy did a Days of Future cast on it and the DLC.
Yeah.
Kind of going generalities over that.
Worth checking out.
No.
Yeah. And so this being an expansion pack, we like expansion packs.
I love expansion packs.
Yeah. Pack sequels are good. We like BioShock 2 quite a bit.
Yeah. You know, it's taking a twist on something like that and giving you a little bit more if it's something that isn't super tired, way into it.
Yes.
You know, the aesthetics of this are different. The story is different. Your abilities are different. You're fighting different villains and everything.
Yeah.
It's different enough while still having, you know, very similar bones.
Counterpoint, Gary, only one game can ever take place in New York. Otherwise, it's greedy dev, lazy dev.
What game is that?
No, I mean, just whatever.
Oh, oh, any game. Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. No particular game.
Yeah.
The yeah, because this is a game where people talk. This is a series where people talk about New York. If you like hearing people say only in New York,
mm-hmm.
and you like people going, "Geez, it's the spider," then this is the series of games for you. It's the bug. Let's go.
Goons.
I love to cheese it when it's despite us. Like, it's one of my main things to do.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So the main story of Spider-Man 2018 doesn't have a lot of bearing here. That was about Mr. Negative and then ultimately Doc Ock. Yes. Trying to do crazy purple knockout gas on all of, I almost said Gotham City, on all of New York. Yep. And they're dealt with by the end of that. This picks up. So in the first game, Miles's dad, Jefferson, mm-hmm. is a decorated police officer who dies in an attack near the beginning of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the course of the game, he is bitten by a research subject spider from Norman Osborn's penthouse, like from his labs.
Yes.
And develop spider powers.
All Spider-Men are bit by radioactive external processors.
Mm-hmm.
So then they have the external processing power of a spider, which means they talk, they narrate everything they're doing, which spiders do, but you can't hear them. They're too little.
Mm-hmm.
So he reveals these powers to Peter Parker, and Parker takes Miles under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
We got two Spider-Men.
Yes.
This takes place during the winter following the events of that main game. You know, Peter has gotten Miles more or less up to speed, mm-hmm. but he's leaving him in charge for a time.
Yeah.
He's going to Europe. And Miles is in charge and has to be the Spider-Man for a few weeks. And that is playing into the very, you know, broad basic themes of this. This, you know, be, you know, you can be this hero, but also be your own version of it.
Yes. Yeah. No. Miles is the substitute Spider-Man, just playing movies on the big screen in Times Square.
Yes. He's showing Toy Story to Crims.
Oh, gosh. Like,
he wheels out that VCR TV cart. Those things are great. So the base gameplay of this is basically Spider-Man 2018.
Yes.
You know, and that's worth talking about because we haven't talked about it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It is a main play gameplay mode in the modern gaming landscape. Like, this is a big open world game, but it has additional twist to it,
mm-hmm.
which is traversal.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man 2018, I think, huge innovation.
Mm-hmm.
was making movement fun and skill-based,
mm-hmm.
In a way that I don't think has been done before. A lot of people will cite Saints Row 4 mm-hmm. flying around in that, and that is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this reminds me more of like Crackdown or something in that respect. It requires a little bit more engagement than that did for
yes.
me.
Yeah.
Like there's a real joy of execution
mm-hmm.
to web-slinging. It feels, looks just like it does in the fucking comics. Like, it fulfills the fantasy.
Yeah. So it's not just like automatically Spider-Man will whip out a web and it sticks to nothing. And then you just kind of, you just kind of roll. That's a little bit what happens in Spider-Man 2,
Spider-Man.
The PS2 one.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one, like, you don't have to target each individual thing, but each individual web shot to hit an anchor point. But like, what you are near and how far you are from it and how low you are to the ground really factors into the momentum you're going to take when you release, factors into which direction you're going to fly, how fast you're going to do it, et cetera. And you have, mm-hmm. You know, not just like trick maneuvers you can do, you know, to get spider points, you know, to look cool.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need little Tony Hawk moves in order to fill up your venom meter. It's real dumb. It's real video games. But you have little techniques you can do to go faster,
mm-hmm.
Or to take turns better, things like that. It's skill-based. You're not necessarily being scored on it, but it's integrated into the game in two ways. Like, one, you have to do this during chase sequences,
mm-hmm.
so it's actually tested. But two, it makes one of the things you're doing in the places in between more intense gameplay or story,
mm-hmm.
Really engaging.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of my favorite traversals in game, and talking about traversal is real cringe. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a game cliche. It's exceedingly fun, mm-hmm. and this weird miracle of physics and animation.
yeah,
how this works.
It is intrinsically joyful to engage with it, I think.
Yes.
To the point where there is fast travel in this. Like, you can take the subway if you want to. Why the fuck would I take the subway
when I'm Spider-Man? that reminds me of when you go to the store and they show, like, the Hot Wheels, you know, cars that are all paired up to the Justice League, and you get to see the Flash's car.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, the Flash isn't driving a car. That's stupid. That's the whole point of the Flash. You know, I'm not here to take the subway,
mm-hmm.
you know, for these things. And you do spend a lot of time, you know, traveling around. Like, mm-hmm. Your goals are far apart from each other. This is so you can do kind of walk and talks. But instead of walk and talks, which are very boring, you just press up on a controller.
Mm-hmm.
You are instead doing this kind of low-key Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
That is just, and I cannot stress, I never think about this kind of thing when it comes to video games. But just the way that it is smart about finding anchor points,
mm-hmm.
and the way you're animated in this is just, like, again, it's like a feat.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Arkham games, mm-hmm. you know, which this has the most DNA with. Batman is heavier and slower.
Yes.
Than this. You know, Batman's like a brick.
Yeah.
In those. This, you feel like this lithe little, it looks just like a Todd McFarlane, creator of Spawn, drawer of Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
Comic.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing all the poses and stuff. It's very, very true.
Yeah.
Feeling.
And then this gets even better in two, not just because they have a glider, but because there are, like, you can choose to take some of the safeties off a little bit.
Yes.
And just, like, get way more technical and have more granular control over this. You know,
this part has gotten better with each one.
Yes.
Yeah. It's sick. It's really fun to move around in this game. Every time I played this, you know, like when Liv would come down and see me playing it, and then when I was playing the first Spider-Man, and mm-hmm. my ex would see it, like, this, it, you know, if people are not familiar with video games, this kind of stops them.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience, like, they'll stop and look at it because it looks so neat.
Oh yeah. No. When I got Spider-Man 1, my stepdad wanted to come over and watch it.
Yeah, it's just a joy to behold.
Yeah,
you know, without necessarily doing that in terms of, like, artistic beauty, it's not a joy to behold, like, you know, Gris is.
Right.
It's a joy to behold in terms of, like, a technical feat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also on loan from the Arkham Collection is mm-hmm. The combat, by and large.
Yes.
You know, Spider-Man spends a bunch of time beating the piss out of Krims. Mostly from these two rival factions in the story here. You've got the Underground, kind of these the super science technopunk kind of people, mm-hmm. And then security agents of the Roxxon Energy Corporation, who are the kind of the main bad guys here.
Yes. So the combat is similar to Arkham or the Lord of the Rings games. Instead of counterattack, you know, you still have perfect dodges. Instead of counterattacks, there's a huge emphasis on aerial.
Yeah.
Combat, which is not really a thing
mm-hmm.
in the Batman games.
Right.
Gadgets, perfect dodges, and you do these through a diegetic way through your spider sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, instead of the Batman sense, which Batman doesn't have, your little spidey sense pops off and it's glued to your character. Your eyes aren't going to take off the character, you know, mm-hmm. are going to be on the character the whole time. It's a really nice little UI bit.
Yeah. So, like, this, instead of being, you know, Batman, who is a brick and, you know, tries to turn people's attacks back against them, this is leaning into Spider-Man as, you know, being incredibly agile and incredibly mobile.
Yes.
All of these guys are thinking Settle Down Beavis when they are looking at Spider-Man.
Oh my God. Like, a boss fight against a Spider-Man would be so exhausting. I know they put one in Shinobi for some reason, but, like, you know, it's not very true to the comic.
Yeah. This is combo based. You build up combos by chaining attacks without taking damage yourself. And when you reach a threshold, you can perform finisher attacks. There are, like, mini boss enemies who require multiple finish charges to, mm-hmm. you know, to take down. But these are always, you know, satisfying. It's nice to take somebody, you know, who is annoying off the board.
Yeah. And that meter that you have performs multiple duties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll talk about that, but it's a really smart risk reward thing, I think.
Yeah.
You have other options as well. You have your web shooters. This will allow you to yank enemies, kind of zip into them. You can throw them up in the air, yank them up in the air, disarm them, throw objects at them, things like that. In addition to just webbing them up.
Mm-hmm. Nothing more satisfying than just wanging somebody with a manhole cover.
Oh, yeah. I threw stuff like crazy in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Near end bosses, it gets difficult to do because you always do the little theatrical wind up for it. But yeah, tossing lots of car doors and manholes at Crims. You fucking cheese it. I'm the spider.
I need to grab that for the soundboard. Why did that tickle me so much? You can also perform these special maneuvers that are unlocked as you spend your skill points in a tech tree that is divided by combat, venom, and camouflage skills. More on those later too in a bit.
So the main resource you're building up in addition to combo is this thing called a focus meter. That is used for special attacks, but it's also used to heal your character. So you're making a choice at that point. If you, it sounds like it's going to be a poor get poorer kind of thing, but it felt like to me that relying on healing was kind of when I learned the combat. You know, I did a lot of healing, and then once you get better at it, you start making combat go faster.
Yeah.
By being able to utilize that for special moves and everything. I think that it actually kind of performs both duties in a way that is neat.
It's one of the better ways I think they could have handled it. Like, what would they do? Scatter like little pieces of pizza around and you roll into them. Like, yeah, I like that.
Flies, you suck the blood out of Crims like in the web. I don't know how spiders eat. Yeah. I don't need to know. It's not my business.
Yeah. Mouth parts. But it's good because like if you are if you're in danger and you need health, it is always encouraging you to be in the combat and to get better at dodging, right?
Yep. And you can also you won't heal, but you can jet at any time as well.
Yeah.
If you need a break from damage density, things like that. Like I really like this is my favorite of this variation of combat. I love how heavy Arkham feels.
Yeah.
You know, like Arkham, I love how brutal that feels. This is the most fun in my hand of these.
Yeah.
That I've played.
Arkham also has that thing where like as combos build, it gets faster and faster. Like Batman has a lot of momentum or inertia that builds up. This is, you know, inherently zippy from the start.
Super zippy. There's slightly in the enemy loadout. There's slightly fewer lock and key.
Yeah.
Scenarios. Batman combat, Arkham combat has a lot of this enemy does this, so you have to do this button combination to disarm them. In the Spider-Man games, every once in a while someone will have a shield, but instead of being one thing unlocks them, they're immune to one thing.
Yes.
You know, like sometimes you have to rip off an item or something like that, but generally you can use a special move. You can take them from behind. You can web them up to hit them. There are a lot of different ways to unlock it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less like putting in a combination, you know, in the middle of a thing.
Yeah.
This focus meter, at a certain point, you discover your bioelectricity powers. Miles Morales is a very funny character, Mouth Parts Morales, where he just has a real mixed grill of fucking powers for some reason. I've never understood this even in the comics.
Yeah.
And this turns into a Venom meter, and Venom is a namespace that is heavily polluted. In
I kind of groaned when I saw
called that.
When Gonki or whatever his name is, Genki, like says, "Hey, it's Venom powers," and it's like that's a dude, and also
it's a guy. Yeah, and you're gonna meet him.
Yeah,
like, that's super awkward. It's an alien's name. Like he just. Like he's not an alien in the game. Or he is an alien in the game. I forgot.
Yeah.
But yeah, he goes by that name himself. I understand that a spider, if it bites you, the thing, it's not poisonous because it's not, you know, it's venomous because it shoots venom into you. But it just, at this point I would be like, am I even a spider anymore? You know, like I can turn invisible and shoot electricity. Like there's nothing that does that.
Yeah.
You know, why am I even a Spider-Man at this point?
You know? Venom charges, you eventually get the ability to kind of bank these. They will heal you, just like focus meter will, but they will also power special electric attacks, a couple of different uses. Like this can be AoEs, it's also stuns. Stuns can chain as well, and there are enemies where you need to use these to make them vulnerable.
Yes. These are also their synergies. They'll pop up with different abilities. I got a lot of use to kind of circumvent that healing as I was using more special moves, the thing that gave you health back when you hit enemies that were stunned.
Yes.
I ended up using that synergy quite a bit for this. There are special enemies that require certain tactics that pop up as you go through the game. It's a little bit less restrictive than the Arkham games IMO. But like the Arkham games, you also have gadgets.
How good is the gadget loadout in this?
It's really good, even if it's like kind of limited. You know, like the one of the criticisms this game received, we'll talk about the kind of the meta about this is this release, was that the gadget loadout was more limited than Spider-Man 1. He has fewer things. The gadgets are cool, though. They're super cool.
Yeah, and they're catered to the style of play like that this game, you know, kind of heightens, right? Like the remote mines, those play with the increased emphasis on stealth, and it's super fun to set up traps, right?
And then you get holographic, you know, if you're getting overwhelmed, you can shoot little holographic Spider-Man out. They'll fight with you just to take a, you know, take attention off of you. Things like that. You're going to want to use these. My confession, in having played all three of these games and the DLCs that are available, I have never understood how and when you get these back. It just happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no diegetic reason behind it. You can't really rely on it. You just get them back every once in a while.
There was something in some of the gadgets, or there's some ability. This is like, this is a very busy game in terms of like modifiers and stuff. So like in one of those things that is kind of overwhelming, it mentions like increased drop of of gadget refills. So I think that it's just a chance after you beat somebody that you get gadget back.
Yeah, I think it is a percentage. I got that because I wanted more gadgets. And then I was like, am I accidentally picking up a thing? Does like a gadget orb pop out of this crim? You know? But yeah, I don't you just kind of get them back. And the game is cheeky about this. It feels like sometimes they will deny you certain ones if they don't want you to have them for a certain encounter. Or make sure you are full up. So like when you do the tutorial for those mines, you'll be full up even if you use some.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Like, and these are, because it's a modern video game, all these things can be upgraded and expanded.
Yes. So Spider-Man 2018 had some stealth combat sections, but this takes them and turns them up, really leans into them. And these, again, taking from Arkham, they resemble the Predator sections of the Arkham games, where you are zipping around, trying to stay out of sight and isolating enemies so you can take them down silently. I like how your little, you know, spider HUD or whatever will indicate whether somebody is safe to take out or not safe to take out, and how you can get upgrades that will show you
what's making them unsafe.
Yes, that is so good for just like
it's really good
untangling the order of operations that you end up having to do. Yeah, these are satisfying.
I love those segments in Arkham. I think I like these a little bit more. And again, I'm not trying to damn by comparison. I like those games.
No, Arkham games are old. It's been 9 years since one came out.
Yeah. It's I'm glad somebody is advancing the kind of idea. One of the differences here is Miles can turn invisible. Lets him cloak for a short amount of time. He has to recharge it. When you get seen in the Arkham games, what you do is just hammer the jump between cover button and just jump between the same eight gargoyles over and over and over until the enemy just decides not to look at you anymore. In this one, at the very least, you'll turn invisible and go to the other side of the map. The arenas are much bigger. The enemy could lose you.
Yes.
Like it feels a little bit more believable to me, and I'm being a little bit more intentional when I'm panicking as opposed to just kind of hammering that button until the AI forgets about me.
You're not just like trying to hypnotize them like a chicken.
Yeah. I don't know how universal that is. Maybe that's a skill issue and I'm playing Arkham like a scrub.
Yeah, maybe.
But like, that's what I do every single time, you know, just, and then it always works. Now I'm not doing that. I'm like looking at high ground, trying to find places that are out of line of sight.
Yeah.
Watching for sniper lines. Like snipers have huge laser sights, which is really great. You know, trying to take them out. This order of operations, dismantling an ambush or dismantling an encounter, one of my all-time favorite video game things.
Yes.
I love doing it. Yeah. I will do it forever. Like, it's great.
And, you know, it doesn't lean as heavily on the enemies panicking when they start seeing people webbed up or tied up. But that is there. Like, you want to, you know, make sure that you're not webbing somebody up in a patrol line. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, then they'll start patrolling in more erratic ways, or we'll start partnering up. Things like that. Things you don't want. They'll make it more difficult, but not impossible. And you always have the ability to go loud. Mm-hmm. You know, if things go bad, you can always roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, if you get seen, that's very comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very rare that there are encounters in this that you will be fucked if you don't stealth them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can always basically get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, there are ones that are more suited to stealth, but it is kind of have it your way.
Yeah. And it's super satisfying to just completely clear one of these arenas.
Yes.
Just like, oh, this did not have to, you know, turn into a big chaotic fight. It's just literally, well, not a ghost town because they're still there. They're all just in cocoons.
Yeah, they're all knocked up and they're all preparing to be drank.
Knocked up?
Yeah, they're all knocked up with all thousands of miles spider babies. I gotta be me. Clutch. Just sprays a clutch all over the Crims. Jeez, it's 1,000 young.
Because this is a modern game, you know, like we said, there are so many things to level up and upgrade and things. You get skill points from leveling up, and that's one thing, but you're also collecting activity tokens, which sounds like something you get in preschool.
Yeah, so something like problem children earn.
You get those by doing side content, and you get tech tokens by raiding caches that were left around by the underground faction.
Yes. So these are your map chores, you know, that will pop up. They're spent in different ways. So the hero or the activity tokens tend to be spent on your suit.
Mm-hmm.
In different mods, the tech tokens are spent on your gadgets.
Yes.
Make them a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And those mods are neat. It's like having a bunch of little ring slots, right?
Yeah.
And you can synergize them. They can synergize with the suits as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can, each suit will have many of the suits have a bespoke ability.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're leaning into a specific build, you can try to unlock that suit.
Yeah.
That does these, and these can be unlocked either through just having enough tokens, or it'll say complete all of this type of side mission through that.
Yeah.
The best source of activity tokens is the Friendly Neighborhood app, which lets you find people in trouble. They request help from Spider-Man. This is used to get dispatches from the NYPD. It's worth talking about the arc of that.
Yeah.
You know, the first one, Spider-Man was working with the police. I'm on record of being a little bit annoyed at the discourse at that, because, like, yes, Spider-Man's not a cop, but I don't know who people thought he was webbing criminals up for.
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man is certainly complicit in the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
His job is to put people in jail.
The first thing you're doing in this is escorting criminals to prison.
And that's very true to the Spider-Man comics. Like, people are like, oh, you know, Spider-Man wouldn't do that. I'm like, what comics have you been reading?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think happens to these guys that get webbed up? It happens every issue all the time.
Yep.
But they listen to the criticism of that. So now you're no longer getting missions from the police. And then it reaches its illogical conclusion in Spider-Man 2, where I think there's like 4 cop cars in the whole game. And the city, there's a private army that has invaded New York, and the cops are like, this is none of my fucking business. I am taking a me day.
Yep.
You know, they just sit it out.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I have no problem with that either. But it's very funny that they had this really huge reaction.
Yeah.
To Spider-Man 1.
Yep.
They address it specifically in this. You know, no more surveillance.
Yeah.
Here. Instead, though, people are requesting directly, which means you also get funny, piddly shit.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I have carrier pigeons and they're lost. And I'm like, so many people are, the blood of many innocents is on your hands.
my cat got lost. Okay. I can get the blood of my blood of innocence.
Yeah. This seems worth it. But for a pigeon?
Yeah. Come on. Pigeons?
No. No.
Oh. One final gameplay bit here before we get into the aesthetics is that over the course of the game, you are going to run into these environmental puzzles, you know, where you're going to be yanking on stuff, physics objects with your webs, but also using Miles's bioelectricity powers. I think that these top out at just being fine. I was a little bit annoyed when they popped up. I can see how they vary the pacing, though.
I'm never pumping my fist
when they
pop up. One thing about this game and its reduced scope is that it's a little bit worse about varying the pacing.
Mm-hmm.
There are fewer verbs for it.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 1 and 2, I think both are able to vary them up in different ways. Like the little kind of, activity, like witness puzzles you would do.
Mm-hmm.
Like not that hard, but you would do like little activity puzzles
that
would take you to a smoke screen. Are slightly more puzzly,
yeah,
you know, and a little bit less samey
mm-hmm.
than these, which I appreciate. I do appreciate, though, how this game conceives of how electricity works,
mm-hmm.
because it's how I want it to work, which is just something has electricity or doesn't.
Yeah.
And Miles can just zap it and it works, or take it away and it doesn't. That feels very pure and good to me, and I hate that the universe doesn't work that way. I'm looking for a redstone reality in terms of electrical physics.
Yeah. It's better than just like, okay, well, what's the ohms? What's the, I don't need to do a circuit puzzle. Yeah.
You could have done a Towers of Hanoi to get the right number of bio ohms.
Bio
stick in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about aesthetics, like this is a very pretty game. You know, it still looks good because we're in this weird, we kind of had a console generation, but we kind of didn't.
I call it the non-soul generation.
Ooh, yeah. Burn.
Yeah.
it's neat. It's neat going around in the city. Like, it's just theming, but seeing the snow, seeing all the Christmas decorations up and things like that. It's impressive. It is using the PS5 in pretty cool ways. I also like that this is a very colorful game.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
And that's true of all the Spider-Mans.
Yes.
You know. The music is comic book music, but with a hip hop beat.
Mm-hmm.
This is suited, to Miles' character, who enjoys making beats,
mm-hmm.
And very influenced by the Spider-Verse, film, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a little bit whenever, like, my hackles, mm-hmm. my Spidey sense goes off whenever, if black character on screen, then hip hop beat.
See the Indigo Prophecy episode, right?
Yes. Or any episode of like Chopped.
Yeah.
But it makes a little bit more sense for Miles. Miles likes creating beats.
Mm-hmm.
This is the music Miles likes.
Yeah.
And the theming of this, again, as much as it is a very 101 level theme, this, be your own version of this,
mm-hmm.
be yourself, makes sense for him to have this variation of superhero music.
Like
it's thematically consonant
mm-hmm.
in this case.
Yeah. For the writing, I like Miles as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of his background and his family factoring in more than Peter's, mm-hmm. does, but also like it is fun to get a chance to play. He's closer to my idea of what Spider-Man is, which is a teenager who is in way over his head and trying to figure things out.
It's old Spider-Man.
Yeah. Old Spider-Man, which is young, like constantly broke, constantly like disappointing people because he's trying to be everywhere at once, kind of deal.
Yes.
That was a bit of a bummer. I didn't need to see Spider-Man's origin story in Spider-Man 2018, but him being like out of college and a research assistant in that, like being a little bit more established and confident, did lose a little bit of the appeal of that character to me. So
it's the comic book, curse, right?
Yeah.
Like Spider-Man has been around forever in mm-hmm. the comics. It makes sense for him to have moved on. But the reason why we have a Miles Morales and had an Ultimate Spider-Man and stuff was to recapture that early flavor as well.
Yeah.
It's real similar to like an MMO having a legacy server.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost like you can have the old version of this.
Mm-hmm.
Miles is, I think, supernaturally likable in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
He actually runs into a thing that I've noticed, and this is more pronounced in the second one,
mm-hmm.
but like characters, and I give credit to Will from Everything to Guppy, who I talked to, who brought up this. I was trying to put my finger on it. He was like, yeah, the new ones are good. They're still just as fun, but they don't have like the mean sense that the first one did. And I think it's because Miles doesn't have flaws, really.
Yeah.
And it was making me think of the difference in characters between having flaws versus baggage.
Yeah.
I just wrapped up my Adventure Time rewatch. And like one of the reasons why out of the main characters, Marceline is my least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I love Marceline, but my least favorite of the main characters is she has baggage, not flaws.
Yeah.
Like a little bit, Miles is a little bit impulsive early on.
Mm-hmm.
And makes a mistake, and it's you know, I guess you could say the thing he learns is not to try to be the Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But he is supernaturally good.
Yeah.
He is just a force for pure good in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no crapulence at all.
Right.
And that does have a necessary kind of shallowing of the character. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the stuff of him dealing with his family and being a disappointment to people around him.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff I think is really compelling too.
Yeah.
He's just too good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of stuff. It doesn't make him not enjoyable or unlikable or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily prefer the video game Peter Parker either.
No.
It's just something that I, you know, I look for in deep characterization, like characters, yes, I'm going to like really love.
Yeah.
You know, I need him to be a little bit more of like, not a fuck up, because mm-hmm. he fucks things up, but he does it on accident. He's trying his best.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little crapulence.
A little bit. You know? Yeah,
I know. Have him dog fight. There should mm-hmm. be little dog fight icons
mm-hmm.
that appear around the city, and you get dog tokens. And then he goes and enters dogs into dog fights just to balance out his character a little bit.
Yeah. That's awful.
No, I don't want that. I'm just kidding. Genki, do you got a line on any dogs? Yeah, man. Check the Biter app. And then he has to go.
Yeah, Biter man.
Yeah. But yeah, Miles is very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Voice performance is great. Really, really good.
Yeah.
This guy.
I'll take this one just because it is something that I kind of felt. I don't want to put words in your mouth. So this kind of the main story of this revolves around this energy corporation doing a bunch of unethical things with a new energy source in Harlem. Specifically,
yes,
because they see the population there as being disposable. I wish that they would have leaned into it a little bit more, you know, especially like putting more centering on Harlem and the people there. You know, I feel like that's a little bit out of focus for me. It's not like I wanted it to be entirely that, but that was interesting and I wanted more. But I also recognize that this is a mainstream big money product too.
Yeah. And a smaller in scope.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like having two villains. Mm-hmm. You know, for this is almost more than it can bear, you know, for its short scope and length, yeah, as it is. I would like that too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing where the politics that are in this are generally good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is critical of it, and the actual non-misguided villain, the actual villain mm-hmm. does stand in for a lot of real life things.
Yes.
I agree that it could have been focused on and been meaner about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, kind of to Will's point, like a little bit more tooth.
Yes.
Would have been real good. Yeah. They do make the main villain of this so incredibly hateable. They do a good job of that.
Yeah.
Simon Krieger's a real piece of shit.
So getting on to development stuff, pulled some details from this from an interview on Marvel.com by Rena Basil, and by an interview on a Greek site called Game Over by George, wonderful name, Georgios Kalifas. Who did that here? Just with some of the creative leads. Like the minute in you know, the development of Spider-Man 2018, when Miles was kind of introduced, they kind of knew that they wanted to give him a spotlight, like make a game with his story.
It's really smart to speedrun that.
Yeah.
You know, like as opposed to having the arc of the comics where we just had Peter Parker for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
This was very forward thinking.
Yes.
Like the time scale that games are going to work on is going to necessarily be shorter,
mm-hmm.
you know, than this.
Yeah.
Miles Morales is Black and Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
And Insomniac did a lot of interviews with Black and Puerto Rican residents of East Harlem to make sure they got details right.
Yeah.
When we talked about it not being centered, it's not really centered in the story. I think it is centered pretty well in the details.
Yes.
This is a very affectionate game towards a specific people.
Yes.
You know, I don't know enough about that specific people to know how true it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are nitpicks you can have, but for a big PS5 launch title kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
It did a good job with that.
I felt the affection coming off of those details, neighborhood, and you know, small things like you know, cutscenes in the city, or you know, in the, you know, yeah,
yeah. So they're getting used to developing for this new system, the PS5. This is a really big challenge for Insomniac. learning the hardware was also one of their goals for doing this, because they wanted to keep up with this. There was a Spider-Man 2 as well.
Yeah.
And this was developed concurrently with Spider-Man 2.
We know this because when the game was announced, Insomniac was like, hey, you know, we assure you there is going to be a full sequel in development, because people were confused when this was announced, in no small part because of the way Sony decided to word things.
Yes. They described it as an expansion and extension of Spider-Man 2018. And then in interviews, the developers kept saying, no, this is a standalone game.
Yes.
Expansion and extension makes it sound like an expansion pack or a DLC, like a retail price DLC through that. This also caused a lot of discourse. You know, why does Miles get a side game and Spider-Man doesn't, you know, but Spider-Man gets a full game?
Yeah.
As a thing, I feel like that ended up being a little bit of a nothing burger with how Spider-Man 2 came out, which is the focus is on very equally on the two. Like, you spend a lot of time on Miles. That game loves Miles.
Yeah.
You know, they are co-protagonists.
Yes.
At this point, doing this introduction game for him, doing just another full game in the middle would have been a weird pacing thing.
Yes.
Like, I like a mission pack thing. I'm glad we got to spend it with Miles.
Yes.
And they ultimately, again, give them, you know, relatively equal screen time. Like, I feel like Spider-Man 2 really does feel like both of their games.
Yeah. So this was released, this was a PS5 launch title, which also I think colored a lot of people's impressions of that launch. This console generation is so fucking weird. But like, when PS5's like two killer apps when it came out were a remake of a an 11-year-old game in Demon's Souls and a maybe expansion pack. You know, I think that had a little bit of an impact of how the early part of that generation went. But it was released and it sold and reviewed very well. Outside of the grousing about it not being a full sequel. And we have data about this because of that huge leak that happened last year. This sold 10.2 million units. And it's rare to get that amount of specificity nowadays, especially now that MPD numbers are not being reported.
Yeah, seems like a lot to me. You know, any big number like that is going to disappoint some shareholding asshole. It seems good to me. Spider-Man 2 did come out, came out in late 2023. And this was the gigantic sequel everyone was looking for. Almost too big. It's bigger than Spider-Man 1. You split your time between Peter and Miles. They each have different powers. They each have different places in the storyline. It does a good job of pacing you between the two, I believe. Really good game that is fucking enormous.
Yeah. Unsustainably enormous, actually.
Yes. It is a hard game to... if you like this kind of thing you'll like it, but like, for me, I only have so many open world games a year.
Yeah,
you know, I don't slop these up, you know, that it's not my specific Gary Nip, so like, I can only do some of those without just getting map icon fatigued.
Yes. It's a pretty safe bet that we're gonna get a Spider-Man 3, presuming the industry doesn't crash. So
we haven't seen the fucking Green Goblin yet.
You know, it's like, wild.
Of course we're going to.
Yeah.
The cat, you know, we have Norman Osborn and he's great. You know, he's menacing and good. He's really good in Spider-Man 2. I imagine we're going to get a Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
They're also working on a Wolverine game because every once in a while the universe works out for Gary. You know, like every once in a while something good happens to me. You know, I'm very excited about that. These are the people I'd want to have doing it. There was a leak of that everyone said looked like really bad, but it was also a leak.
It was early, it was pre-alpha. Yeah,
I don't care about that. Like, I like this developer. I think, you know, I want to hope, you know, I don't see the point in naysaying in advance.
Yeah.
For that kind of thing. And I'm really excited about like a street level Wolverine game. I think Wolverine would lend himself really well to this kind of combat. I'd be interested to see how they incorporate, you know, Wolverine is tanky. You know, agile, kind of agile and tanky.
But he's an apologist for Stalin and Mao.
Yes, very much so. He loves that shit. I loved, you know, and previous to this, my wish casting game was X-Men Tactics, and I kind of got it with, you know, Midnight Suns. You know, hoping to keep my wishes continued. There.
I'm happy for you, bud.
Yeah, me too. I am too. Like, it's great. Yeah, you know, this is what I want, man. We're on the good timeline. In only this respect.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. In only this respect, and only this respect of this respect. In many other facets of this very thing, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That's gonna be it for the generalities. If you are hearing this, thank you very much. We appreciate you. We'll be back next week at the Dispatch. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can do so by becoming a patron. $5 a month gets you all of our premium episodes.
Yeah, which is a lot. I said last time that I was going to count them. I did not. So that's where we're at right now. But yeah, there's plenty there, including like actual bonus shows too at $5.
Yes.
Unfilmable. Yeah. Our show about horror movies and media, is great. We like that. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to check it out, and Real Itch Hours, if you're hankering for some Baldur's Gate 3 talk.
Yeah. All the Bonfireside Chat archives and Bonfireside Chat when it comes back for Shower to the Erd Tree. Mm-hmm. $1.25 a week. We think it is a good value.
Yeah.
It's less than a song used to cost on iTunes. If you are listening to this and you're not demographically identical to us, you can, and you have a project or product you'd like us to shout out, you can send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. Please include pronouns, pronunciation, short description. Mm-hmm. I'd appreciate that. We'd be happy to shout it out. You can also leave ratings or reviews for our show on Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict, anywhere where podcasts are sold.
Yeah. It's too late to write in about this month's games. But you can write in about April's games by the 15th of April. That's going to be Dandara, Lunacid, and our premium episode is going to be Super Mario World. Go to duckfeed.tv/contact, click the WAF button, and write in there. We prefer multiple responses if you're going to talk about multiple games, and try to keep them short and specific.
Yeah, and we'll be announcing the following month's games next week on the Dispatch.
Yeah.
Until next time, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
Oh, also thanks to Gwen, our producer.
Oh, yeah. Big thanks to Gwen. Thank you, Gwen, very much.